Hello, everyone. On the Ides of March, oh my, in ancient times, that was an ominous day. But today, it's a day of blessing, a day when we're getting ready for the turning of the seasons into spring in the Northern Hemisphere, into autumn in the Southern Hemisphere. And I say that because we have people all over the globe on this call. And isn't it wonderful to be connected? Isn't it wonderful to be in the matrix of life, where people from all over our beautiful world are coming to receive the blessings of Christ and carry those blessings into their own environment? That's one of the things that I really do emphasize about this, and that is that all the blessings we each receive then send forward through a very, very special field of consciousness and energy into the lives of those around us. Others feel the difference in our life. And that makes a difference for us. It makes a difference for them. I would love to hear from anyone who wants to come into the conference bring up a thought or a question for the day, and then we'll proceed into the message. It's kind of nice to do that because I get to see where you are, what you're thinking, and it gives everyone time to arrive before we really get into the special message of the day. Hi, Desmond. I see you're on. Welcome.
Hi, Glenda.
And how are you today?
Glenda. I'm doing actually really good. It's a beautiful day here in Spruce Grove.
Great. I hear you're having a little warmer weather up north.
I feel that I had a special role in making that happen somehow just by spending so much time cultivating the forest and the people with Jesus's picture, those pictures of Yeshua.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when I show them to people, Linda, I mean, some people don't care for, I actually cut the chapters out of your books, so it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Some people aren't too really interested in Yeshua's words, but like you said, the pictures, everyone's always so happy to get the pictures.
That's right.
I always put Christ's blessing on the back, so if they are interested, they can even get to your Inspired Origination website.
Oh, that's really, really good, Desmond. Oh, and by the way, while you're saying that, this is why we went an extra length to print new postcards that are just beautiful. They are so close to accurate of the painting. The other postcards did not do the paintings justice. The new ones do. They're just terrific. And, you know, it's a wonderful gift to give people. And you can write on the back of it the website for Christ's Blessing. That's a great idea.
Yeah, sometimes I put prayers on them. And I know we're translating your blessing calls, a group of
mm-hmm.
us, and I was talking with Arlene, and she says it's just been so transformational translating that the text. It's just been inspiring beyond what she anticipated. So,
That's great. I've heard that from several people. You know, just for everyone else's information, what Desmond's referring to there is that some of our blessing givers have donated their time to transcribing the recorded blessing calls over the last 5 years in order that we can put together a book of blessings. And you have just described the reason why we need to do this. Because when we're in the middle of listening to what's being said as it's being said the first time, for the most part, we're really into our own issues, our own hopes, our own desires, what we're seeking to get from a blessing. And for the most part, we're only a half listening, or maybe 10% listening. We're just kind of taking in what's being said, knowing that it's taking us to the threshold of what we hope to receive. But when you really listen to what was said, or as the case may be for future people coming back to these messages, when you read them, you will feel the penetrating depth of Yeshua's words coming through me or you, even people who ask questions or have answers on the call, how much his presence is here. I knew that would be felt, and I'm so looking forward to putting this together It's one of our big projects for this year, and that is to get these blessings into writing. So thanks for your work on that, Desmond. It's terrific.
Glenda, I also want to mention that I was listening to this guy, Mark, from the Agape Church, and he's talking about evolutionary love and the difference between ordinary love and outrageous love, like just pure true love. And I think that's the difference in consciousness, like with the course of, I don't know what is the super consciousness. And
mm-hmm.
where you actually assimilate the full context of the words.
This is correct. This is correct, Desmond. And, you know, we don't have time on this call to take up that whole subject. Desmond is alluding to what we're studying in the Sense of Life right now, where we have really indicated the fact that there is a supra-consciousness that is Christ-like or Buddha-like or like any of us, really, the higher Desmond consciousness, the higher Kathy consciousness, and so on, where we really begin to see life more whole, as a wholeness that is guiding and supervising our life and giving us visions of what can be. Now, that really points toward the value and the miracle of the Christ blessing. And that is that from Christ, energy is given that restores our wholeness. You know, every pain you have ever experienced, this goes for everybody, it's not just an answer to Desmond, but to everybody. Every pain you've ever experienced has been a break in wholeness on some level. Now, it might be a break in wholeness on your body, such as a broken finger. That's going to hurt terribly. Even getting a shot in our skin, the skin breaks, the little tissue is penetrated, there's a break. It's not a big hurt, it might just be a bee sting type of pain, but it's a break in wholeness. We have a broken heart, it's a break in wholeness. People can get a break in the very fiber of their soul. That's a break in consciousness that can sometimes drive people into a deep, dark night of the soul. A break in faith. Every pain you will ever experience is a break in wholeness. And this is why Yeshua, in his healing, simply addressed the restoration of wholeness, knowing that by restoring wholeness, all the different breaks will be healed in an appropriate order of possibility. What is restored for you may not be the thing that's hurting right now. Maybe you're having a headache, but you don't realize that the headache is a pain, which is a symptom, not a cause, a symptom of some other break in wholeness somewhere else. And that break in wholeness needs to be repaired in order for the headache to go away. Sometimes disappointments we have that we agonize over are also symptomatic of a much larger break in wholeness that has to be repaired first for that disappointment to go away. Yeshua and the Holy Spirit will bring energy and love into your being that will find the breaks in wholeness. That's how this works. And actually, this is how our own superconsciousness works, which is why it is so important to cultivate it again in our lives, which is what we're talking about in our class right now. But it's also basically what we've talked about in every blessing call for 5 years. We've just approached it from different topic angles. We've looked at different aspects of how we enter, support, and nourish the superconsciousness of our being. It might be through love or faith, or it might be through cleansing out toxic elements that have entered into it or disrupted it. It might be how to restore the guidance of our own superconscious light body soul over our life. There are so many ways to approach the subject, sometimes through prayer. We've talked about prayer, meditation, guidance. But it's all about this great, vast subject that Yeshua brought into life that was virtually stamped out in the culture to which he was born. Now, all of the prophets, from Abraham to Moses, I'm sorry, I was combining, doing a big contraction between Moses and Isaiah. Someone just brought me a message. No. I don't know what, some people, it seems, have been locked. And that was the message. But we are unlocked, and I don't know what that is all about. Is there any blessing giver that has also gotten onto the call and accidentally hit the lock button? On mine, there is no problem. We are all completely unlocked and available to be on. No one is on hold. We are on recording. The conference is live. So all I can do is hope that by maneuvering this just a little bit, we have opened the conference for other people. Now, I know what was happening with other people trying to get on. I'm going to go off and on the Q&A mode. Okay, I'm just going to move some buttons around here, hoping that it good. Well, I hope that will do it for everyone, and I am so sorry to anyone who might have been locked out. I hope you're still on the conference, the actual conference call, and listening in. Jenny, I see that you're on the call. Hello.
Linda?
Yes.
Hi. I had a message from someone a little earlier that the call was locked and nobody could get on the call. So I apologize if you had a little blip, but I went on and I unlocked the call, and that's what you heard, I think.
Oh,
earlier.
Okay. So I do appreciate Blessing Givers being on the call also to second chair me, just in case. This is what I have asked for some of our Blessing team, to be on the call just in the event I should lose a digital connection or a digital download connection. Someone else can jump in. But we all have to be careful to make sure that the conference is not locked. And so I apologize for anyone who momentarily suffered that. Thank you for letting me know, Jenny, because that was kind of a puzzle. Now let's move on. And maybe actually we can turn that into a grand message here. Because really, what we have all done for the superconscious part of our consciousness is when we incarnated, we put it on lock. You know why? Because the superconsciousness can reveal anything to us at any time. And in fact, it is such a revelatory consciousness. We wouldn't have any mystery or any discovery or any game in life if we knew how the score was going to be. We actually put the lock button on so that we could have a challenge and a discovery in life. The problem is we forgot how to unlock the superconsciousness, and to extrapolate even further, we have also had other people in our life who might have inadvertently pressed the lock button because they didn't want us to see something. So it's very, very important for all of us to spend time in life, in prayer, in meditation, or in higher consciousness endeavors, whatever that might be for you. It might be reading an inspiring book. It might be studying with an inspiring teacher. It might be listening to grand music, looking at great art, reading poetry that takes us to the edge of the universe. It could even be studying the grand outer parameters of new science with the thought of how far can we really expand this envelope of life. It's very, very important that we all take time in our life to go into the area of expanded consciousness and turn off the lock button that we might have accidentally pressed or even intentionally pressed so that we could have an adventure and a discovery in life. You know, there have been surveys that have asked people, if you could talk to a psychic who would tell your whole fortune in life, would you want to know? And 99% of the people say no, I would not want to know. And the 1% that say, well, I would want to know, if they say, well, I would want to know some things, but maybe not everything. I wouldn't want to know my death date. I wouldn't want to know when the end of a relationship would come with someone I love. I just wouldn't want to know those things. You know, we all have reservations. And even Yeshua, the night before his arrest, did not want to know what had to be. He needed to discover it through living it, being it, becoming it, embracing it, moving through it, through the presence of incarnation. He didn't want to be taken to this place where he would know everything and have it revealed. Now, there were times in his life, especially at the time when he took on the fullness of his light body, his soul, at the moment when some of the apostles were with him and they saw the fullness of his soul incarnation, and he could see the fullness of his gift to this earth and his gift to humanity and his relationship to God the Father. There were times when he could see everything. And there are times, I'm sure, when you have had revelations or epiphanies or revelations in dream time when you could see everything you needed to know. And then in a flash, it was gone because we needed to be reunited to our adventure in life. So what we want to look at, and this is kind of for me, it's kind of a warm-up for what is going to be presented in our class today for our students of the Sense of Life, is the fact is we have many, many fields of consciousness that we travel through in life. Sometimes, because we really need to be in our educated, analytical mind for the service of our profession or for solving problems in life, we really need to be there. We need to be in the full rational capacity of our intelligence that we could find support for in the Encyclopedia Britannica or all the great books of the world or the great minds of the world or the instruments of science. And we say, yes, this is what will work. Maybe we put it to the mathematical test. Maybe we put it to the budgetary test, or we put it into whatever other realms of comparative intelligence we might have access to and say, yes, this will work. In the logical realms of life, this will work. But we also know we can't live only by those measures of life. There's so much more to life than just that. For one thing, there's our great emotional reservoir, which is not simply the specific emotions we express, such as joy, enthusiasm, interest or curiosity, the excitement of having a new venture, or annoyance, or anger, or grief, or loss. It's not the specific expressions of emotion, but we have an amazing emotional body, which is actually our whole electrical field of energy around our body that responds instinctively to life. It's the whole stimulus response field of awareness that gives our body a sense of alive connection with nature and with all of the wondrous world around us. Then there's our subconscious field of awareness that goes beyond anything we can typically and usually put words to. Yet it emerges into instinctive awareness, sometimes when we need it most. Sometimes it can become a problem that we have to address, such as allergies that come out or aversions we have that are telling us, stay away from this area, don't go there. Or it could be wonderful instinctive guidance towards something, like cravings for fresh fruit. And we didn't realize that we needed more vitamin D, vitamin C, other things that fresh fruit can give us. But our subconscious mind knew it because it's one with our body. And it provided these delicious little cravings. It might be sending us out into the fresh air because maybe we just don't have a high enough oxygen level. We listen to these impulses and they bring us fresh new life. And then there's a greater mind than that. It's the spiritual, superconscious, light body, soul body, consciousness that is immortal, that we bring to this life at the moment when we take our first breath and make our first cry and unite for a lifetime of discovery, learning, fulfillment, sharing, love, adventure, and final realization. We rarely bring the full soul body into incarnation because I think for most of us it's usually not necessary, but it's the presence of this soul body that has given our heroes and heroines the strength to carry through sometimes torturous pain. We saw that in the life of Gandhi. We've seen it through so many of those who struggled against opposition in this world. But the soul was always bright. Of course, naturally, we see it in the life of Yeshua. But not just Yeshua. What about Mother Teresa? She had visions for her hospital that nobody else could see. But she clung to those visions as tenaciously as a bull terrier to a piece of rope against everybody naysaying and saying it can't be done until it was done. It came to pass. There are those teachers who have gone into inner city schools and they saw the love that was in these children and the brilliance against all odds, and they worked miracles against everybody who said it couldn't be done. That was the light soul body holding to the vision against all amazing opposition. There have been scientists who saw the future of technology, and some of them got stopped, such as Nikola Tesla. He took it a percentage of the way, but against odds that simply would not resolve completely in his lifetime, but he left a legacy of inspiration for future generations. Albert Einstein was led by such visions. Leonardo da Vinci saw the helicopter in the 16th century, but of course he had the full analytical wit to know there would not be any supporting structures for it in his lifetime. But it's still an interesting visualization for us to see appearing as prematurely as it did. These are the visions of our mystics, but also our great global leaders, our scientists, our poets, our artists, our musicians. Mozart saw all of his compositions done completely and denied ever being a composer. He said, I didn't compose a thing. I merely transcribed it. So this is the fabric of this great superconscious mind that we all have access to, that can heal us and bring wholeness to our life. This is what Yeshua was referring to when he said to every miracle he performed, it is your faith that made you whole. He was referring to the power that we have to activate this consciousness of the soul that guides our life, directs our life, unites our life with God eternally, and during the incarnate years, brings hope and vision to others, and brings blessings to others. As we have this part of our being enriched and made more powerful, we become a blessing to life. Who knows what will come from these blessings? All we know is that we are made more whole. And from that wholeness, we instruct our subconscious mind, our emotional body mind, and even give insight to our analytical mind. We instruct our subconscious with what to do to heal our bodies. We give courage to our emotional mind to heal our griefs and our angers. And it is done, sometimes instantly, sometimes over a period of time, as the wholeness is restored. And this is how it works. As we receive the blessings of Christ, we become a blessing to the world and to those around us, and our life is blessed. And I think it's just about time that we move into a blessing for this day. I would ask that all of you be prepared to receive the blessings of Christ and know that we all are welcome to this blessing, for we all are more than just a person living who may or may not have sins in life, who may or may not have angers or griefs or doubts. We all have had our adventures and our disappointments and our struggles in life. We all have our hopes and our dreams, our aspirations, and our highest desires. And we surrender in now into the love of God, the presence of Christ, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to receive healing, anointing, guidance, and fulfilling through the greater consciousness that prevails over our life. We ask for the blessings of Christ. I will begin with an expression of gratitude, an invocation to Christ, and then you will continue with your prayers for whatever you desire for about 3 minutes while the blessing givers and I are conducting this very special energy of consciousness that travels uniquely into the life of each person according to your readiness to receive, according to the love that you are, the desires and the hopes and the dreams of your life and the needs of your life. When that is complete, I will let you know. And then you go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And don't think. Don't bring your analytical mind into this, for it cannot embrace the fullness of what has been given. Just rest, receive, enjoy, and be fulfilled with the gift of God. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, we thank you, most of all, for your love. We thank you for your life as it was given to us, for the fullness of all that you are, that we may discover in that the fullness of all that we are, that we may discover in your light the light that we are to the world, that we may discover in your love the love that we are in our own life, to the life of those around us, and to the world. We thank you for the continuing inspiration that you have given to us through the millennia and forever and always. We surrender now into your love that we may receive your holy blessing. Amen. The blessing is now complete. Go and rest. Receive and be nourished. God bless you. And bye-bye for now. I hope to be with you next week.